This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Cardinal basketball when you can't be at the game. For a buy one, get one free entree, text CRUNCH to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Mark Blankenbaker's bedroom. This is Grum's Revenge, and that's not strange. And I'm sitting here with
Mark Blankenbaker in my bedroom.
And we are recording this week's podcast. We've got a couple of things to talk about. One, we've got program updates, but we're going to also hit on a couple of the sports topics that were popular this week with both fan interactions, both good and bad. It's The Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Program update.
Mark, lovely bedroom.
Oh, thanks for coming up here, Mike. I appreciate you stopping by.
We had a couple drinks, and one thing led to another, and next thing you know, we're recording a podcast.
It's weird. Told Emily, I was like, you know,
Emily, his fiance.
Mike and I are going to record in the bedroom tonight. Is that cool?
She's like, do you need the video camera?
What are you recording?
Just the podcast. No, I appreciate Mark having me over here. There's a conflict of schedule. We normally like to record at my house on his way home from work. Did not work. Thank you for inviting me over. Bedroom looks very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We are not laying on the bed, folks, by the way. We are in chairs. He is in
It's a rather large
life
bedroom.
You work out up here.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, a little biking and basketball and Twitter.
I like it.
And, you know, it keeps me occupied. So.
Okay, well, let's talk about just a couple things that went on with the program this week. Very excited about landing what we were losing right and left once the last staff left. We got another defensive lineman.
Yeah, Tay Thibodeau from Louisiana. I think he's a defensive lineman. Everybody lists him as the D tackle, but I mean, it's pretty well known. Todd Grantham talked to Tay about he's going to play that big defensive end role. Mm-hmm. And in the 3-4 defense, you really need.
Currently 6'2", 265.
270. Which is perfect.
Right out of high school.
If you're 6'2", 270-ish, yep. You can really hold that strong side in. And if you can get a double team, then your nose guard can get a double team. That frees up everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you need a lot of. Now, he could probably play in the middle sometimes on passing situations.
He's just going to have to eat a little
situational,
more.
Situational. And he may grow. Like you said, his father is a big, big man, and he also grew a couple inches out of high school. So they're hoping that Tay does
out of his senior
thing.
Year. Yeah. Now, this came from Mike Hughes, and I read this, that he was like 6 foot to start his senior year. So the old law of measurements, when people judge you by the measuring tape versus your heart or your effort or your talent, they miss out on people like this. And he grew 2 inches just during his senior year, and it's, you know, who knows where he'll end up. Maybe he's done growing. I was done growing in eighth grade.
Yeah, well, you know, I was done in my junior year, but you know what? You know
what?
Everybody.
No one says in eighth grade but me. I'm telling
you. Everybody levels off at some point. Yeah. Maybe Tay is leveled off. He's plenty big now to play the role that they brought him in to play. But if he gets bigger, awesome. But I am excited about getting another Louisiana kid because last year you get Len Clark late, and I like the way Len Clark looks. He's a really big, fast, mobile guy, and you know, he was a lightly rated kid, but I liked his game when I saw him in practice. He redshirted. I'm excited about Len Clark. I'm excited about Tay Thibodeau, and I'm also excited about getting into this new recruiting ground that it is Louisiana, because Louisiana is a hotbed for players. Texas recruits out of Louisiana. Alabama does, obviously, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, the whole area, Arkansas.
So you talked about this right before we started recording the podcast about one thing you're really excited about Bobby Petrino is the Bobby Petrino now that we have – has serious connections in recruiting versus the one we had when he was just at Louisville.
Yeah, you know, you got a guy that spent a couple years at Auburn, so he had like the South, the Deep South, Jacksonville, Alabama, really well scouted out. Now he still has those areas, but he's added Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Eastern Texas.
Big lineman Jimmy Terry that I'm excited about, Mississippi, and then we beat Arkansas. So you're worried about, but Bobby and his reputation in Arkansas and the whole thing. It's like, no, doesn't matter. He just picked us over Arkansas.
Right, and you know, to compete in the ACC, Louisville really has to get a handful of players from Louisiana, from Miami, right. from Ohio, from Kentucky, from all over.
Would be great if Kentucky could supply them all. We just right. we don't have it.
You know, and there's a lot of guys in Jacksonville and a lot of guys in Tampa. Florida really is like a four-section area because you got the Panhandle, you got Jacksonville, yeah. you got the Treasure Coast, you have Miami. And so all four of those places are unique in their own. So you can't just throw a huge blanket of Florida on it. Right. You really just can't. Yeah. And but now we have a staff that's so well put together with different geographical strengths and recruiting that I'm really, really excited about it. You know, Terrell Buckley, he's got Ohio and Florida really well scouted. You know, Lamar Thomas, Florida. Right. Coach Grantham, Alabama, Georgia. You know, we could go on, we could go through the yep. whole thing, but it's really exciting. And then we talk about Louisiana, that area.
There's a lot of potential here.
A lot of potential.
And our brand is as good as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. We beat Florida in the Sugar Bowl, and then we turn around and beat Miami in the Russell Bowl.
Yeah, and we did both of those in Louisiana and in Florida.
Right. So. Right. So, hell, some of those people might have gone just for fun, just to see a football game.
Absolutely.
But I'm excited about that. And just to throw it out, you know, we're not a recruiting show or anything like that, but we will pass along some information. We have it. And Howie Lindsay from Cardinal Sports, well, actually, it's Mike Singer, one of the Rivals guys. He was talking about how this weekend, so happy Valentine's Day, everyone. That's why we're in the bedroom.
Yeah, that's why.
It's our Valentine's,
happy Valentine's Day.
It's our Valentine's Day special.
This is all you're going to get, Mark.
From the bedroom. But we've got David Mwala, JUCO defensive tackle, Pio Vatuve, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Vatuve, I like the way you say that.
California JUCO defensive end, and then Jamarcus Howard, a DB. Potentially all three visiting this weekend, all of them JUCOs. Now, normally you say JUCOs, that's a sign of weakness in recruiting.
I mean, potentially. I mean, you know, there's some class balance things like we talked about before we started recording that, you know, with the way Charlie Strong had to recruit coming out of Steve Craigthorpe, there's a lot of class imbalance still.
That first class was like
at the university
30
Louisville.
People. Yeah. I mean, just something ridiculous.
And so Louisville really wasn't able to sign a full class the first 2 years Charlie Strong was here. He was only able to do it one time.
Yep.
And so it was really discouraging because you have this great recruiter in Charlie Strong, but the roster is just a mess.
And just some loose numbers, one of the push-up man on the Cardinal Sports Board just put a pencil to it and said, I think this is about correct. But seniors is 20, and that's our largest class. So obviously, you know, right out of the bat, we know we're going to lose a lot of people. Juniors and sophomores, kind of small, 15 and 15. So now we're talking about those JUCOs that slip into those classes, helps bolster those classes. This is not a recruiting weakness. There are some needs. He sees some players. Do you trust the process? We trust the process with Bobby, right?
Yeah, and there's both the Mwala and Vatuve, both these guys were very big-time targets coming out of high school, and both had different issues that caused them. Vatuve's instance, he's actually removed from his school. So, you know, you got to think about that.
For like, killing a man.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
He physically killed multiple people.
On the football
field. Which is great for a defensive player.
But the Pac-12 said it was too violent. So,
that's right.
No, I have no idea why he was removed from school, actually. But he was. And so, you know, he went to junior college. He paid a lesson. And now, you know, Bobby Petrino's been given a second chance. So it looks like he's going to give Pio Vatuve a second chance. And he's a monster. He's a similar type of defensive lineman as Tate Thibodeau. Yeah. Same type of body type. He'll be that strong side defensive end.
So we're going to roll right in. These are play immediately guys unless they just can't pick up the playbook, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they could play immediately. But the problem is for them is that there's some really, really good players on this Louisville football team still. I mean, I'm thinking about that defensive end position that Thibodeau and Vatuve potentially would step into. That's Dejon Richardson, or Johnny Richardson now, as he's known as.
Right.
And Sheldon Rankin's territory.
Lozo.
He could play some of that. Lozo's really going to play he's really going to play the opposite side. But, you know, you talk about B.J. DeBose, he's that size.
Yeah.
You talk about Dejon Richardson. You talk about Sheldon Rankin's. Those three guys can really do that.
Hopefully you reach here for balance and you call him up from injury. If that something like that happens, I guess.
You need depth. And, you know, if anybody knows that you need depth, it's Todd Grantham. Georgia was just absolutely just decimated with injuries. They already lost seven players off their defense into the NFL, and then they were going to be young as it was, and then they just got hurt almost every single game. They lost two players, okay. And you know it just accumulated all year long.
And
for
with
them.
The bowls, you know, with the but, you know, the Boston schedule, the Notre Dame, the Florida. I mean, hell, our last four alone, last four games in the football season alone, we could lose players. I guess you'd hate to crack a redshirt late, but I mean, if you were trending towards something really special.
You'd have to crack
the redshirt.
Yeah, I mean, they actually talked, you know, even Charlie Strongstaff talked about late, if they needed Dominic Brown to win a championship, they would take the redshirt off of him. And this past year, that would have been it. And Jermaine Brooks, they kept it on him, and because they knew that they, you know, they couldn't win the conference championship, so they left it on him and D'Angelo Brown, both who wanted to play. So, you know, and both those guys will factor in at nose tackle right away. David Malawa is a typical zero technique. Yeah. He can play that position with D'Angelo Brown, Jermaine Brooks. So I'm excited about the roster. I'm pumped for football. We keep talking football, and we're mid-February.
Right.
It's because our schedule's terrible for basketball. You know, you get
Temple Thursday. We got a whiteout. Yeah. Who cares? They're 108th in the RPI. When you're listening to the show, we might have already whooped Temple. God forbid that we lose to Temple. That will kill
us. It's a whiteout.
Kill us.
And it literally may white out. The game may happen. We don't know. You know, North Carolina Duke was canceled. You know, Temple Louisville could be canceled. So, you know, by the time you listen to this, we may or may not have a basketball game. So.
The O-Line Grill is Cardinal Central for U of L basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and two domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the Crunch Zone and head there for lunch. And get a buy one, get one free entree by texting Crunch to 72727. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End. On the front line of Cardinal sports.
While we're talking about these recruits, I put out a story today on thecrunchzone.com, and much like your Super Bowl story we talked about last week with the stars of the Super Bowl team, we need to remember again, it's not about the stars. Trust the process. Do you believe your coaches can spot talent? And on this article, I pulled together two classes. And you can check this out on thecrunchzone.com. If you're listening, you can pull up their website. And class one has 15, 16 guys, 4-stars and 5-star players.
Yeah, you basically just took an aggregate of all the 4- and 5-star players that Louisville signed.
Not all, but
he handpicked them.
But it's over half.
It's
like we don't have a lot of 4-star players. So.
Right. It's to illustrate a point, and that's that not every 4- and 5-star player works out, and not every 2-star and 3-star player is terrible. Right. I've said plenty of times I'll take a team full of 3-star kids.
So. Yeah, I remember being excited about BJ Vickers. I don't even know if he suited up or played a year and transferred or what.
Don't know.
Marcel Benson, I remember him, big lineman, did nothing, went nowhere.
Nate Harris was awesome.
Nate Harris was a really good linebacker for us. He played in the pros for like 3 games, but that was
maybe.
Earl Hammond was a big popular lineman for us. He was good. So we're not saying these 4-star players are bad, but basically what if you go through and look at all this, you will see guys that played either no NFL at all or like a game.
Yeah. I mean, you just look at it. I mean, Mo Grinter went to Kentucky. Andre Henderson quit football. C.J. Peak was moved to wide receiver and couldn't catch. Whitney Terrine played for the Bears for a little while. Dale Martin didn't do anything. You know, I don't know. Gerard Holloman's still on the team.
He's still on the team. Now, he was the USA, you know, U.S. Army All-American we're very excited about. Maybe he turns into something, so we're not saying they're not good players.
I'm excited about Gerard for sure.
We're just saying...
You know, this is what happens. Everybody expected that Gerard Holloman would come in right away and start. And, you know, the guy who started wasn't Gerard Holloman. It was Calvin Pryor, who, by the way, is a 3-star player on the list below that you're saying class two, the ho-hum list, the throw-ins. And
right.
Calvin Pryor is a guy who's going to be maybe the first or second safety taken off the board in the NFL draft, potentially a first-round pick. And all the hype coming in off the class or in the same class was – Gerard Holloman.
Right. So list number two, which I call the ho-hum list, the first list averaged 4-stars. So that would be the greatest class in Louisville history. And as you go through that, you don't even remember half their names because they just didn't make that much of an impact, they didn't make it or whatever, and they didn't, most, if not all, didn't land in the NFL. The ho-hum list, which averaged 2.47, far lower than what this class is being rated for Bobby Petrino, which is close to 2.9, is littered with NFL success.
Yeah, I mean, I love this list. I mean, I'm looking at, like, Harry Douglas, Eric Shelton, Elvis Dumervil, Will Gay, Amobi Okoye, Colby Smith. I mean, we could go down this list, and you can do it on thecrunchzone.com, but basically it's a list of kids that came to school and, you know, Louisville liked Eric Wood, you know, first-round pick. He's going to get a huge deal when he's an NFL free agent. Big piece of the Buffalo Bills, one of their leaders, and two-star player. So, you know, we talk about recruiting rankings, and we're a week after signing day, but, you know, I'm really, like, still excited about the class that they brought in because of the system. And you say in here, you know, who should we trust, websites or coaches? We're a website, okay, but we're trying to give you perspective on what the coaches are doing. They're doing a process. They go in and they evaluate the kids, and they say, who do we want for us?
You're very good at football. You love it. You know lots of players that play football. You didn't coach it your whole life. I mean, any website that goes out and says, I know more about football than the freaking coaches.
You
have to trust the process. Now, if you don't trust your coaches, then you hired the wrong guy.
Right, absolutely. And some of the players that they missed on, Puna Ford and Chris Nelson, for example, you will know that they wanted them because they kept recruiting them. But other players that they let go, like Najee Ballou and
the four-star defensive back, four-star fullback.
Yeah, they let them go. And
Charlie had no interest in recruiting them.
And Charlie didn't want either one of those guys.
Those guys were star fodder, and they were not –
exactly.
They weren't what we needed.
And sometimes that happens. Football recruiting is probably the most difficult thing to do in terms of recruiting because in basketball, all these players get to go and play in the same gym. You get to see them play against each other. You get an opportunity to see it several times in the AAU tournaments and throughout the year and all-star games. You can see them all in the same room. In football, you may have a guy who's really good at South Florida recruiting and a guy who's really good at North Ohio recruiting and a really guy who's really good in the Phoenix area. But how do they know that their defensive tackle prospect that they have higher rated is the best prospect in the country? They don't know.
No.
They just know that they're
relative
the best
to the players
in their area.
That they're watching, right.
Exactly. And there's bias of all kinds when that happens because it's all subjective. You have your area. Maybe the high school program that the player came from is a very traditional program. Or maybe the two-star kid in the same area is better, but his high school program's awful. George Bussey's an excellent example of that because he came from Western High School here in Louisville. He's the only football player to come out of Western High School in forever. He played with the Patriots for a period. And, you know, there's also the bias of the traditional college programs. So when a kid comes out of Ohio and he comes from a traditional Ohio high school and he signs with Ohio State, he's obviously going to be a force four, five,
right.
Five-star kid.
Built-in legacy reputation, whether he's good or not.
And, you know, he's probably has size and he probably has speed and he probably is a very good football player, but there are players that are two and three stars that people just don't see.
Okay, well, so the bottom line is you just don't know. It's, you know, it's going to be the player's success is going to be earned on the field. It's going to be the coaches working with the player. It's going to be the desire. It's going to be the heart. Certainly not going to be the star.
Do they have a D1 offer? Yes. Who else has offered them? Okay. Does Bobby Petrino want them? I like 24/7 and Rivals and Scout.com, all and even ESPN some. Okay. But the fact of the matter is that it is an impossible job to rank all these kids.
And it's a business. It's their business.
And it is a business.
It doesn't mean that they're experts, but it's just like they literally run it. It's like they own a restaurant, so they just want to do the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they haven't been coaching for 40 years or 30 years. You know, it's all this. You just have to understand that these sites do a pretty good job. And sometimes the coaches, Bobby even said, hey, we look at this stuff too. He's like, we don't ignore these websites. Well, he's just saying, but when it comes down to who we're picking, we have a process that we go through.
Right. We're talking about 15,000 kids that, you know, to evaluate. No one can be omnipresent, and no one can see everybody. So, you know, if the player is really good and Bobby Petrino wants him, I'm good with it.
All right. Well, let's move on from there. The bottom line there is you just got to let it play out. They, you know, they could be great. They could be terrible. They're just going to have to earn it. So, you know, recruiting can be exciting, but just kind of let them come in and we'll see what
this
happens.
This week is really exciting because all the 2015 offers are going out. We're learning who they're targeting and seeing all that out. So, you know, pay attention to these websites because you'll see who Louisville is targeting. We don't get on recruiting very much. Our podcast, obviously, has been very recruiting heavy. But check out 24/7, rivals.com, scout.com. See who Louisville's offered.
All right, a couple quick program updates, not really to banter about, but just kind of get them out there. Senior class award finalist, Russ Smith, congratulations. We've got Wayne Blackshear back from his concussion against Temple. So that's good. And we talked about Temple and then the Saturday Rutgers. Both are games that are just going to ruin our strength of schedule.
And we're going to roll right into Tuesday, too. It's going to be like no game and then three games in 6 days. It's going
to
be crazy.
Right. So so Louisville just needs to win these games that they're playing because it will when they win, their strength of schedule gets worse. Yeah. So if they lose, they're going to suffer a very strong drop, and they're going to have to earn it all back on the road at the end of the year. And, you know, maybe backs against the wall is a good thing. But right now, you know, Louisville's, you know, seems to be taking care of business when they play against the weaker teams. So now let's go to this week's topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
Fan behavior, both good and bad. All right, so Marcus Smart,
okay,
fairly or unfairly, gets the beat down from people. Now, personally, we've heard things about Texas, and we've already talked in previous podcasts. We've talked about the strong shirt that came out, which was clearly a racist shirt. Black is the new brown, orange. Black is the new orange. It had a picture of his face on it.
Black is the new brown is what it said.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a playoff Mac Brown.
Mac Brown. Okay,
yeah,
that makes sense.
So
Marcus Smart is down in Texas.
Yeah, and that was in Austin, and this is in Lubbock, Texas. So in Lubbock, if you know anything about Texas, is probably the most isolated city in Texas, way out in the middle of nowhere.
So a little bit more country, perhaps.
Way more country.
Yeah.
Way more backward. I was actually talking with Tom O'Neill after the...
who is a referee.
He's an official, and it was the game that he teed up Terry Rozier. It was the UCF game. Okay, it was a Saturday night game, and I go into Down One Bourbon Bar next to the arena, and I am...
Because bourbon is delicious.
Bourbon is amazing. And I was just having a beer. I wasn't having bourbon.
Oh, my God.
And Tom O'Neill walks in.
I'm going to kick you out of your own bedroom.
I know. It's amazing.
You're a bourbon bar drinking beer?
Well, sometimes I just want a beer.
All right. Go on with your story.
Tom O'Neill walks in, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to find out what Terry, why I teed up Terry. Wasn't a big deal. Well, anyway, I start talking to Tom O'Neill, and I'm asking him all these questions. Well, it came out that he feels like Lubbock, Texas is the worst place to officiate a game. And I was like, why? And he's like, it's just the most backwards place. They don't know anything about basketball, and they're isolated, and they really just don't know how to act. He goes, it's the worst place to go and work a game. And that was all he said about it. We started talking about all the other things.
Lo and behold, Oklahoma State goes into Lubbock, Texas, Texas Tech. Heated game.
Travis Ford versus Tubby Smith.
Two former, you know, Kentucky guys, kind of. One player, one former coach. And there's a little scrap on a play where Marcus Smart fouls a guy, goes into the crowd, and then what America saw, which I thought was really unfair, is the media cut off the part where he was just sitting there, and then you heard this, like, what did you just say, face? And he stood up and turned around, went straight at the guy. But a lot of what the media showed was just him standing in the fans and pushing him. And I'm like, that's just unfair.
It's really
show
unfair.
The whole picture, okay?
I mean,
because he had no intentions of standing up, going anywhere. He was sitting down, and he was getting ready to just go back into play.
Right, and the guy provoked him 2 feet away from him, whether or not he said or...
And he certainly shouldn't push people. We're not condoning that.
But, you know, if the guys maybe said a racial slur, maybe called him a piece of garbage, or maybe he called him a piece of shit. I don't know. But, you know,
sorry, kids.
He
Mark's been drinking.
No, I haven't had anything yet.
He just wasted.
No, but it's a podcast, and we can curse. We're not regulated by FCC. But anyway, maybe he said that. And if he said any of those three things, Marcus Smart has to have enough restraint to not do that. Now, there's this whole separate issue of an adult calling a college kid a name, you know, and acting. And this guy, apparently, and David Orr,
and this
is
guy
his name.
Probably deserved more than the push.
He's well known within the league by current players and also players who who have gone out of the league, and they have gone and said, I remember that person. I remember his face. He said a ton of terrible things to me.
Jay Williams of ESPN was sending out tweets from players and different people saying, this is not new news with this guy.
Yeah, this guy is he's a repeat offender, and he's probably the worst in college basketball, or one of. I'm sure there's somebody like that in a lot of different arenas around the country, especially in the NBA and well-known basketball places, Texas Tech not being one of those. Yeah. But
well, we have an article on the website at thecrunchzone.com called Civility Lost.
Yes.
And it's written by Keith Pointer, who's one of we call him our legal correspondent, although he doesn't do anything legal for our website, but he is an attorney.
He'd be willing to if we ever got sued for copyright infringement or anything.
And he he has a very interesting perspective, we think, in the blog world, where he can speak from an attorney's point of view on some of these issues. And he's brought up a couple good articles in the past about Shane Bohannon.
It's everything from a legal perspective. Yeah. So, you know, on the back of your ticket, you know, it lets you know that it's a revocable license. They can ask you to leave at any time if you violate the policies within the agreement that happens when you walk into an arena with that ticket. Yep. Everything is on.
Just be a normal human being, please.
And every arena is different. There are also additional guidelines, typically, for courtside seats. Like if you go and sit at the Yum Center, they ask you to not interact with the officials or the players. You can yell and cheer and generally support your program, but they ask you to not direct any comments specifically
towards
anyone.
Spike Lee didn't get that message.
And Spike Lee, well, I don't know if the rule is the same in the NBA or if it isn't. But
directly interfering with Reggie.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller.
I mean, you know, part of that is the NBA is a show, and it's you know, it's a business, and so is college basketball. Let's not kid ourselves. But, yes, Keith Pointer, definitely check out his work on the website, thecrunchzone.com. He kind of brings up a Miles Brand article that he wrote before he passed back in 2008 when Brand asked you know, the NCAA to getting a grip on fan behavior in college sports. He felt like it was getting out of hand then. Here we are 5 years later. We have this
getting
incident.
No better.
And to be honest, I'm surprised we don't have more of this.
Right. And in the court storming, all right? So he also wrote an article, it's also on thecrunchzone.com. You have to dig it, you have to dig back a little farther about, you know, the court storming issues. And it's just like, it is true. It's like at what point is this entertainment that we're allowed to take over the court, run over these kids, call these kids names, maybe racial slurs.
Maybe.
It's like at what point do we need to tell the fans to just cheer?
Right.
I mean, cheer, not jeer. That's what they said in high school.
I mean,
cheer, not jeer.
As a young college kid, I can definitely tell you that I have cracked a few jokes at the expense of a few players and officials. But I don't feel like I was ever really over the line. I know that I didn't yell obscenities.
But I can see it hurt you. You're tearing up. Yeah, he's tearing up he's saying
you
that.
Know, I'm really
oh, wow.
No,
you really started crying there.
I can fake cry for sure. But no, I mean, I definitely, you know, went over the line a couple times, but I don't feel like anybody ever was going to come and fight me or anything like that or come into the stands and push me. But I think, you know, when you're in college, you may get a little bit more leeway than a 50-year-old gentleman who, you know, is a booster and has a job and a career and a wife and probably kids.
Yeah.
You know, has been through some life things.
Right.
The thing that happened in Lubbock, I expect from the students.
Right.
I don't expect
not
from the adults.
Not smirking. I mean, you saw him afterwards. So everyone's like, oh, Marcus Smart. Oh, he was just so mean to that guy. The guy was laughing afterwards. He was like, yeah, I did it. Like, I got him in trouble. Hell yeah. You know, it's like, great.
And the
great
thing
of use of your adulthood.
And, you know, with Marcus Smart, right? So name calling, it's the worst. It's like, you know, if you're ever on Twitter or anything, people call you names. I think it's like the most useless waste of your time. Because what are you going to do to me with your name calling? Yeah. Whether you called him a racial slur.
We're having a debate here, and the best you got is that?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know how to dig out a debate.
I guess I win the argument because you came back with a name call. So, but anyway, whether he called him a racial slur or whatever, if I know that I can call you something, whatever it is, a piece of garbage or a racial slur or whatever, then I have control over you because then I know that you're going to react in a certain way. So I can control a bit of your behavior. So what Marcus Smart has to do is say, you can call me whatever it is you want to call me. I know that I'm better than you.
He needs to reach Confucius.
Right. And I'm going to stay on the floor. I'm going to win this basketball game. You're going to stay ignorant, and I'm going to be over here with a win.
The name calling, yeah. So, I mean, you have to be able to control yourself. Marcus Smart was in the wrong.
Yep. No, don't go in the fan. Don't react.
That guy definitely deserved it.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And I side with Marcus Smart here over that guy because that guy is an adult.
Yeah, I mean,
that guy is not acting like an adult. Marcus Smart is if someone's going to treat you like that, I might be wrong, but that guy might get it.
Yeah, he'll get it at some point, and he's getting it now. I mean, I don't think he wanted the open label racist label tagged on him, which is why he's lying in his statement. Yeah. And you know, I think
and he said he's not coming to any more games. But this isn't really the topic of the week. It's not this guy, and it's not Marcus Smart. But it's about fans. All right, that's fans part one. So that's when fans go wrong in the wrong way. But now part two is fans going wrong when they think they're going in the right way, when they're being positive and supporting and cheering. And what we're talking about here is, and this is another article that was written on thecrunchzone.com.
By Drew.
By Master Drufus on Twitter. So some of y'all know him, some of you may not. Check out the website. And this one is about fans and their interactions and what they can and can't do, even when they're just trying to be nice to recruits.
Yeah, it's called recruiting interference. And I think it's just important that fans understand what they do in social media and in real life with recruits. I've been doing this for 3 years. I've been on zero high school campuses. I've spoken and interacted with zero high school kids. I plan to interact with additionally zero high school kids. And when they sign, I don't really interact with them much, if at all, unless I'm trying to do a story. So for me, like, I monitor their tweets and their Facebooks and things like that to see what they're thinking and how they're leaning so that I can talk about my podcast and things like that. It's a job. But fans don't need to do that. They, you know, any sort of representative of an athletics interest is someone who's bought a ticket, who has season tickets. If you have a CAF number right now, you are an athletics representative for the University of Louisville, and that's section 13.02.14 of the NCAA rulebook.
So Drew has posted one, two, some subpoints, three. He has a few of the rules. So it's interesting because most of us are like, yeah, you know, it's probably a rule. I don't know what the rule is. Well, he puts the rules in the article. You can actually look through them. And yes, and I play D1 sports, the rule book is ridiculous. It's bigger than the Bible.
Yep.
And it's just like there's just no way to keep up with it. And so he puts specific rules regarding fan behavior and interactions with these kids on display just to remind us, because we always want to be a better fan base. You know, this is what we should do. This is what we shouldn't do. And this is not his opinion. This is the NCAA rulebook.
Yeah, and you know, when
I mean, it may be his opinion. I'm just saying he's just sharing the facts with us.
When fans reach out to recruits on social media, the main thing that can go wrong is you can mess up the message that the coaching staff has for that player. So the coaches have a vision for that player, and the fans' vision may be the same. But when you get that many voices and you get more than, hey, glad to see you when they're on campus, and you start interacting with these kids, that you can really mess up your image of your university, number one, because these are highly paid professional coaches who are paid to represent the school, and you're a fan, and a lot of you guys, when you get drunk, or let's face it, are idiots. And
you.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, when I get drunk, I'm an idiot. We,
not you all, we all.
We all. I mean, I don't get to drink at athletics events much more, but
there's a sales pitch they're doing.
There's a sales pitch. The other head of that coin is a couple of years ago, Ohio State actually had a fan booster, big-time booster, who had multiple felonies of you know, sexual impropriety, and he was tweeting at recruits, and he actually arranged for an autograph signing and met them, violated NCAA rules, and actually his probation by being around high school kids. And so when you get around that type of information, you don't know who's out there, okay? Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, if you see somebody trying to interact with recruits and they're not affiliated with a website who generates recruiting information, then Those people need to be stopped. And as a fan base, University of Louisville, you have to stop that. Don't tweet at recruits. Don't tell them that you're happy they signed. Don't tell them that you're pissed off that they didn't sign. Don't, you know, whatever it is, don't do it. Because you have coaches who are there to do that. And it's an NCAA violation. And you don't want to be disavowed from the program for that. It has happened. I know a lot of people say, don't tweeting at recruits is unenforceable. It's enforceable, trust me. And people are like, well, what if we created a fake UK account and started tweeting at recruits for UK? Well, we can tell what's fake and what's real. We can tell when an account was created. We can see the stream of events. And it's usually pretty easy to validate unless somebody just has zero life. Okay, and then we can disavow nobody from the program because the player won't be penalized for you tweeting at them, but you can be penalized from that. And that's really the point. And you can get the NCAA in trouble, or I'm sorry, the school in trouble, because the NCAA is thinking about fining over that issue.
Eventually, they're going to, you know, eventually the NCAA will do something because they want to have their landmark benchmark, and they're going to make an example of something. Now, we hope they just go ahead and take all the crazy UK fans and they make them an example. But ultimately, it could be you. It could be you listening here that might have done that. They're going to make an example because since social media is out there and they haven't really touched on it besides make a few rules, like they haven't had it in a decision much or anything like that. I don't think anything really big and official and it's been broadcasted. They're going to do it eventually just so they can scare some people from doing it.
Well, we're going to have at some point a huge social media fan interaction recruiting story that's going to change the rules forever with the NCAA and social media and fans. I promise you it will happen. Last year we had the whole catfish thing with Manti Te'o, and that was a real player. I can see something similar going down with a high school kid in a big-time program and having something happen where somebody gets hurt or really upset and have an extremely embarrassing moment that the NCAA does step in and puts it on these schools to enforce this more than they are, because right now they're not. So don't get into a habit. It is a rule violation. And just in general, just think about the rules. You're a fan. You want the program to do well. Don't mess up your coach's recruiting pitch. You can tweet and favor. You can retweet and favor it all day long. That's not interaction. Don't talk to them.
Right. And folks, just remember that showing up at these games and being loud and being crazy at the games and all this kind of stuff, that's really all we need to do. Because when they come up on these recruiting visits, they're basically seeing what kind of support does this program have, so they can see that. You know, getting a creepy message from an adult at 2 a.m. saying, man, I really hope you come to my school.
Hey, dude. Your tape isn't awesome.
Isn't what we're talking about. So don't cuss at them. Don't call them names. Also, don't talk to them and cheer them on and say, come to our school. Because there are rules, and we don't want to be the example. It could happen. Now, I'm sure we've all been guilty at some point or another where we did that just because social media was so new to so many people.
And it's easy.
But now we're settling in, you know. So now we kind of
know better.
We know what it's all about, and we certainly know the NCAA is paying attention.
Don't Snapchat them weird parts of your body either, you know, because Snapchat is going to be a new thing.
Snapchat.
That the NCAA is allowing coaches to send Snapchats unlimited. Text messages are unlimited. So don't send recruits Snapchats.
Snapchat with Calipari is going to be him just throwing dollar bills all over the place and you get this if you come here.
I can see a recruit saying, I didn't commit to Notre Dame because
Snapchat.
I just got too many Mike Bray Snapchats with weird drawings on them. It was too strange.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up for this week's podcast. We just remember by the time you hear this, we might have already gone through this, but these games are just so bad. They're going to hurt our strength of schedule. We've got at Temple, Whiteout on Thursday. Saturday, I think, is Rutgers. And I think, Tuesday
is South Florida.
All these games we should steamroll. But it's all rolling into what's going to be a very important payback game at Cincinnati on February 22nd.
Yeah, and really from there, you know, we get host Temple again. And then it's at Memphis, at SMU, hosting Connecticut, and then conference tournament. So, you know, it really is going to get crazy as a finish. It's built for TV. There are no more huge gaps in the schedule, which is really nice for everybody. And, you know, I'm working on a couple of big projects, so the gap is actually nice for me to, you know, get out in front a little bit. But, you know, I'm excited to share these things that I have with you guys, but we may be in the NCAA tournament by the time I'm finished. So we'll see.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Remember, you can catch us on Louisville.am. It's a Louisville.am production. Or certainly check us out on our website, thecrunchzone.com. And remember, as always, you can pull us down on iTunes for automatic download each week, so you don't even have to hunt and peck for us at all. Mark, go Carson.
I promise to rep the VR.